Hello, I'm Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, bringing you a Floydcast number 43 for December 8, 2014. There's a wide range of stories and updates this week. I guess I'll mix it all together. Here we go. First off, I wanted to kick off with a very interesting little article, a little op-ed piece. I guess it's a combination op-ed piece and research in one article. The title of the article says, Scientific Study Reveals Conspiracy Theorists the Most Sane of All. Quoting, researchers, psychologists, and social scientists mostly in the US and the UK say data indicate that, contrary to those mainstream media stereotypes, conspiracy theorists, in quotes, appear to be more sane than people who accept official versions of controversial and contested events. Well, I mean, this should be obvious, right? We now know they've been lying to us 1,000 times more than we thought they were. The revelations just keep coming, and they're not going to stop anytime soon. It's all been a big fat lie. The more important things have been, the more they've been lying to us about them. They have to control us. The only way bad people can control good people is through lying. Especially when we're doing all the work. They're getting all our money. That's actually a cooperative system, so to get our cooperation, they've had to lie to us. The most recent study, entitled What About Building 7, a Social Psychological Study of Online Discussion of 9/11 Conspiracy Theories. Well, that's a good one to discuss. The study compared, quote, conspiracists, or pro-conspiracy theory, and conventionalist, or anti-conspiracy, comments on news websites. The researchers noted that they were surprised to find that it is now more conventional to leave so-called conspiracist comments than conventional ones. Well, if you want conventional comments, go to History Channel. They're full of conventional stuff. Or lunacy stuff. I mean, really, literally, they have both. If it's about, you know, JFK, they'll give you the conventional party line. Of the 2,174 comments collected, two-thirds of those were quoted as conspiracists. Only one-third were conventionalists. The research showed that people who favored the official account of 9/11 were generally more hostile when trying to persuade their rivals. I don't know if you've noticed, but this is the case. When you try and be reasonable online these days, you run into people who are very hostile. Very nasty. I mean, how nasty can you be when you're just using words online? Well, they're at the limit. They will insult you, they will try and provoke you, and they usually have the mods on their side these days. I think the only exception might be YouTube. YouTube is so large that it's kind of hard to control voting. And that's kind of refreshing, of course, so what they do there, because they don't really want the truth to percolate there, so they have comments disappearing. They have floods of comments for stories, and then comments get buried. A few of them, the more highly moderated ones, will survive. But, you know, typically, a highly upmodded comment will be one that's pretty obvious. The upmod has sort of become really the popularity mod. It's like on Facebook, did you like something? It's like on Yelp, where you cannot downmod a comment. They have three different versions of upmodding, which is bizarre. Why do they want upmods and likes? And they don't want downvotes. Why? They just know that the wisdom of the crowd is really the mass-mindedness, the lunacy of the crowd. And they'll settle for the crowd's lunacy any day. They just don't want that minority view of the person who's actually truly thought about the subject. That's the one comment they don't want. They don't care about the majority, and they don't need to promote their own comments. They'll just sort of tit-for-tat people and kind of drown it with noise. You make a point and they'll reply and try and provoke you and draw you out in some way or other. And if they do, then you get downmodded, and then, of course, that affects your karma. And depending on the website, when your karma is bad, you can't post as often, your posts become less visible, and the trolls will easily dismiss you, effectively dismiss you. Really, this story shouldn't be a surprise. But what is a surprise is to see this headline. Scientific study reveals conspiracy theorists the most sane of all. You don't see that every day. You just simply don't. Conspiracy theorist has been a phrase that they've kept in their back pocket. Like calling you a racist. Exactly like that. They save it. They use it first. Because whoever uses it first wins. The last paragraph here. It seems that those who do not believe in the conspiracies were not just hostile, but fanatically attached to their own conspiracy theories as well. The researchers said that according to the anti-conspiracy holders, their own theory of 9/11, in which 19 Muslims, yada yada, is unwaveringly true. They completely believe it in lockstep. Isn't that amazing? You can find 100 flaws in the theory. Same with JFK. Exactly the same. There's 100 or 1,000 flaws in the JFK phenomenon, and they hold to it unwaveringly. Because here's the reality. They have a colander, they have a bowl full of holes. If they tried to move to a different bowl, it has even more holes. Even the act of moving is more holes. So they're stuck. They're stuck with a bowl with 100 holes in it. Period. Because there is the truth, and there's the cover-up. That's what non-conspiracy theorists are. They're cover-uppers. I heard my dog moving. He's got at my feet this morning. You know, usually when I do the Floydcast, he's not right at my feet. The last few days, maybe last week, he's clearly had trouble. He's been in a little bit more discomfort than he has been for the previous few months. We've been using white willow bark as a healthy pain med. It's the same stuff in the white willow bark as in aspirin. Dogs can't handle aspirin directly, it's hard on their stomach. But the white willow bark, it's buffered. It's like so many natural things versus artificial, like artificial sugar is unbuffered. When you eat artificial sugar, when I mean refined sugar, you absorb it too fast. And then your body has to kick in a reaction, secreting insulin, which is to counter it, which also defeats the purpose of eating it. It's like drinking too much coffee and then having to immediately take a Valium after the coffee. Whereas when you eat a healthy whole grain, it doesn't spike the blood sugar, you don't have to spike the insulin levels, and the system is healthier. Anyway, my dog is just showing signs that he's just a little bit more, not as bad as before we started the white willow bark. Before that, he was clearly in just about continuous discomfort. This past week, he's been having good moments of good sleep and good fun and whatnot, but just a little too active. You know, when a dog gets a little too restless, I'm going to sort of generalize and say that's probably pain. They're just uncomfortable. Another thing that's happening, and it's happening with our cat. We have a really older cat, and he's sitting around. We see him sitting, not sleeping, you know, not washing, not doing something interesting, whatever cats do that's interesting, but just sitting there staring off into space. We had a cat some years back that did that, and we didn't really realize it at the time, but I think it's the same phenomenon that the cat is in pain and they can't sleep. And so they just sort of, they just hang in there, right? With humans, we would do something. We'd put the TV on, we'd read a book, we'd go for a walk, we'd distract ourselves. They don't have any of those things. When they hurt too much and they'd rather be sleeping, they just have to sit there until they can sleep again. So, if your pet is sitting staring at the wall, it's not stupid. It's probably just uncomfortable. Alright, well that was a great start of the Floydcast with a pro-conspiracy theorist article. And that was me talking while stretching, which probably sounds horrible. Alright, another little article from the same website. This website's called Natural News, and I've become a quick fan of naturalnews.com. This is one of these few sites that's actually trying to say the truth, basically. There are very few of them these days. Especially, you know, bigger sites, sites that are productive, that crank out a bunch of stuff. This site is cranking out a bunch of stuff. I mean, almost amazing. I went through the archives, and I went and went and went and went. I got to, like, October. 2 months worth, and literally, like, probably 1,000 articles I looked at. These guys are cranking it out. Good for them. All right, this headline, probably not a new one, as I say. Just 6 corporations control almost all the information you see and hear. Time Warner, Disney, Murdoch's News Corp, Bertelsmann of Germany, Viacom, formerly CBS, and General Electric-owned NBC/Comcast. I put in the slash Comcast. Quote, the fact is, subliminal messaging contained in nearly all broadcasts often heavily influences most viewers and consumers of entertainment and media. And as the economic collapse notes, I think that's some website or something, that influence is constant. The average American watches 153 hours of TV a month, 5 hours a day. You know, my thought on that is I'm not strictly against that quantity figure. What is concerning for me is, you know, depends on who's doing it. If you have very young kids, you should try and keep that TV away from them really as long as you can. Once it starts, it's like once you start feeding them sugar, good luck trying to go back to, you know, whole grains kind of thing. Also, it's what are you watching? Like for me, the dominant thing that I watch are reality shows, and that includes sports. I don't think that watching 5 hours a day of sports is as bad as watching 5 hours a day of soap operas or 5 hours a day of trash, i.e. prime time broadcasting. You know, occasionally I'll get trapped in a situation where I'm working somewhere and someone wants to have their TV show on. And I'm telling you, you know, some of the stuff I get forced to watch occasionally, like the CSI type shows, crime scene investigation type shows, horrific. But so many are horrific. Perhaps the worst category of all are the shows on that kids channel that target kids, but they're targeting teens, maybe, you know, 10 years old and older. The show is not a cartoon. It features young kids, supposedly, in typical situations type thing. And then they try and make it into a comedy with a laugh track. And you just get agenda out the wazoo on shows like that. The whole show is a delete. The whole entire show is completely and utterly worthless. It accomplishes nothing. It's certainly not funny. And these kids, you can tell, this is where their learning is from this show. When you have a show that's a lie and kids are learning from it, don't let them watch that show. That show is a disaster. Don't let it happen. There's nothing wrong with censorship. Nothing wrong with it at all. Provided it's you doing it to yourself or you doing it to your vulnerable children. You're supposed to do that. That's part of being a parent, is to censor their view of the world. Yes, you gradually should roll back the curtain, but if you roll it back too early, or if you simply don't have a curtain, well then you're not really a parent. And your kids are just awash. They're like a little cork bobbing up and down in the ocean. Couple of Ferguson updates. You know, the Ferguson thing, it's going according to plan. They've provoked a response from people, and now people are at each other's throats, right? You know, the media must be sitting back right now and going, it's going great. It's like they got a big pot of water on the stove and they're bringing it up to boil, and now they can throw us in it. Well, once in a while, a little bit of truth sneaks out. Here's one from Charles Barkley. Those people who are looting, those aren't real black people. Those are scumbags. Real black people, they're not out there looting. I just watched a great story on CNN where a bunch of folks wouldn't let them burn down an establishment. It was a great story. But unfortunately, the way the media portrays a lot of black people, we only put the negative black people on television. We don't put the good, hard-working black people. There's a perception among some black people that if you're not a thug or a hood rat, if you don't wear your pants down by your censored, you're not black enough. And they're always holding us back, plain and simple. And I ain't shutting up, and I ain't backing down. I'm not saying who is right or wrong. I'm just hearing the true story that came out of the grand jury investigation. Let me just say this. I think that I know I'm black, but I'm going to try to always be honest and fair. We have to be really careful with the cops. If it wasn't for the cops, we'd be living in the wild, wild west, in our neighborhoods. We can't pick out certain incidents that don't go our way and act like the cops are all bad. I hate when we do that. Think about it. Do you know how bad some of these neighborhoods would be if it wasn't for the cops? It's always great to play Monday morning quarterback. Like I say, I don't know what happened in Ferguson. Nobody knows what happened. I want to take the time as a responsible person and read the grand jury statement. Well, speaking of that, here's another website, newsmax.com. 13 facts about Ferguson the media will never tell you. Number 1. Surveillance video showed that shortly before the confrontation, the 18-year-old Brown stole cigarillos from a convenience store and shoved a clerk who tried to stop him. By the way, in these media stories, I don't know if I commented last week, but they want to make it seem like these were two boys. And the way they do that is they use the word youth. You see in the stories. Go and look. You'll see youth coming up again and again. The guy's 18 was 18. When you're 18, you can vote and you can go in the military. You can legally shoot people when you're 18 because you're a man. I cared for a client that went from a juvenile home to an adult home because he turned 18. And let me tell you, after he assaulted us all numerous times, I can confirm that he is very much an adult. So this guy was an adult. He was a thief, and he was caught on surveillance cameras. And he assaulted the clerk who tried to stop him. In theory, that's enough to put you away for years right there. Number two, the autopsy report showed that the thug had marijuana in his system when he died. That in itself, who cares? Number three, Officer Wilson, driving from the scene of a medical emergency, first encountered the thug walking in the middle of a street and told the thug and his friend to walk on the sidewalk. The thug responded with an expletive. How often does someone swear at a cop like that? I think it's very rare. I'm sure the cops kind of go, uh-oh. Number four, Wilson chose to confront the thug only after he saw the cigarillos in his hand and recalled the radio report of a robbery at the convenience store. Number five, Wilson said when he tried to open his car door, the thug slammed it back shut and then punched him in the face. Assault within your own car. How many of us have gone through that? How many cops go through that? It's a rare event. That's a powerful young man who thinks he is God. He thinks he can do whatever he wants. Number six, fearing another punch can knock him out. And yes, that can absolutely happen. You know, unlike the movies where you take 20 or 50 or 1,000 punches, you can punch someone. Well, look at the Ray Rice thing. His girlfriend and him are having sort of a tiff, an argument, and it's escalating, and she, you know, does something to him, and he punches her. And he's not a boxer. He just punches her, and that's that. She's out. One punch. You know, it's funny how when it comes to women, we're all up in arms if you even touch them, so to speak. But when it's a cop, suddenly someone can be pounding you in your car, and we're not supposed to do anything, apparently. That's like no big deal. So fearing another punch could knock him out, he drew his gun, he told the grand jury, and the thug grabbed the gun, saying, "You are too much of a pussy to shoot me." Again, how often does a cop run into that situation? I would say approximately never. Have you ever heard of such a story? How did this thug get to be so confident, without any good reason, so anti-authority, so anti-cop? How did that happen? That's the real crime. There's the cigarillo tip of the iceberg crime. And then there's a cop who did his job very effectively. And I'm totally glad that cop did such a good job. I don't think that cop could have done one thing better from what I read, other than after calling for backup, to have waited, to have simply tracked them, followed them, and if they weren't hurting anybody else, just keep tracking them, just stay with them. And that's with perfect hindsight. It's like saying, once you know the answer to the math question, and once you've seen all the working by the professional who works out the math problem, how would you work out the math problem? You can work it out perfectly, but that situation's never going to come around again. Number seven, an African-American witness confirmed that a thug and Wilson appeared to be arm wrestling by the car. Number eight, another witness saw thug leaning through the car's window and said some sort of confrontation was taking place. Number nine, after Wilson fired a shot that struck the thug's hand, the thug fled and Wilson gave chase. The thug suddenly stopped. An unidentified witness told the grand jury that 6'4", 292-pound thug charged at Wilson with his head down. Wilson said the thug put his hand under the waistband of his pants as he continued toward Wilson. That's when Wilson fired. Number 10. A witness testified that the thug never raised his hands. Well, of course, some have said that he raised his hands, and we had a famous little protest on national television, you know, and it's now made the news many thousand times over, of football players supporting Ferguson by putting their hands up. Well, this witness testified that the thug never put his hands up. This is how the misinformation becomes more propagated, more known, more talked about, more used than the actual event itself. Number 11. Gunpowder found on the wound on the thug's hand indicated his hand was close to the gun when it fired. According to a report, the hand wound showed foreign matter consistent with products that are discharged from the barrel of a firearm. Number 12. Judy Milanek, a forensic pathologist who reviewed the autopsy for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, said the gunpowder supports the fact that this guy is reaching for the gun if he has particulate matter in the wound. Number 13. Wilson said the thug was physically uncontrollable and, for lack of a better word, crazy. Well, there's every evidence that he was indeed crazy. He said that during the confrontation he was thinking, quote, "He's gonna kill me. How do I survive?" quote. Legal experts say police officers typically have wide latitude to use deadly force when they feel their safety is threatened. And isn't it obvious? It's kind of fascinating how the incidents that the press chooses to use to try and destroy the 99%, it's kind of fascinating how they deliberately use the most obvious situations. I think what they're doing is they're testing their own power. I've had this thought before, maybe I'll try and develop it, but basically, they know where they're trying to take us. They have all the money, they have all the control of the media, they're going to get us there gradually and whatnot. One thing they need is they need feedback. They need to know, how are we doing? In our control of everybody, how are we doing? So I think they create situations like this. The tendency of the 99% is to think that they care. Don't ever make that mistake. They don't care in the slightest about what happens. They don't care how many people die as a result of the news media. They don't care in the slightest. Really, that's good one way or the other for them. It's like they can't lose. They just want to know, how effective are their strategies? It's like, how potent are the narcotics they're selling our kids? That's what they want to know. And by the way, yeah, if you study drugs and look at it from top to bottom, it isn't just street dudes selling drugs. It's an owned business just like all the rest. Anytime there's a lot of money involved, the 1% are involved. Got Tank dreaming under my feet. Yeah, it's sort of a funny dream style. He doesn't dream too often that you can really hear it. It's like he's sort of yelping or that kind of thing. Because, I mean, that's what he does. When our dog Tank's having fun, he'll bark. Like if he sees someone he wants to run over and have them pat him, he'll start wagging his tail and he'll bark. And he'll give his best bark. And he'll be running towards him, but you can see his whole body is wagging. He's a fascinating dog. I mean, so much character. You know, you can get close to something and that's one sort of level of concern about something, but some creatures have a lot of character. That's one of the things I love about our dog, is how much character he's got. Oh, here's another story. Next story. Michael Brown's stepfather under investigation for outburst. Quote, investigators are considering whether to charge the stepfather with attempting to incite a riot for urging a crowd in Ferguson to, quote, burn this bitch down, quote, as part of a larger inquiry into violence after a grand jury, blah, blah, blah. Lewis Head, who is married to Leslie McSpadden, the young man's mother. Oh, the young man. See that? Right there in the story, the young man. Yeah, he's the young man. You know, he was a man, an almost 300-pound man with total disregard for the law on every level, comfortable with assaulting police officers, grocery store clerks, and stealing cigars. Did we lose someone who was a future Nobel Prize winner? Did we lose someone that was about to improve the world? Ever? We got rid of a thug. Anyway, this guy, Lewis Head, could be seen screaming that call, the burn this bitch down call, and stronger ones, at a gathering in Ferguson shortly after the grand jury's decision. Well, first of all, let's look at the dad, Lewis, 944. 944, very discordant name. Four destiny. 674 total. You know, the four quality is snuck in the mud. They don't take to new thoughts. In other words, this guy, what he's doing now, he was doing this 40 years ago. So, putting in my own words to this, my own interpretation, the thug's dad hated the cops and hated probably white people for 40 years. He's a serial racist. And they're considering, was he inciting a riot? Gee, burn this thing down. Is that trying to encourage the crowd to commit a crime? Let me see. the one-sidedness of this situation won't end anytime soon. And it's exactly what the media wants. Got a story here. Ferguson shooting witnesses purposely fabricated testimony and provided provably wrong statements. Some witnesses said Michael Brown had been shot in the back, and others said he was lying face down when the officer finished him off. Still others acknowledged changing their stories to fit published details about the autopsy or admitted that they didn't see the shooting at all. The AP review found numerous examples of statements that were made that were inconsistent, provably wrong, or outright fabricated. I'm going to scan through here. I got a few notes here. One supposed eyewitness claimed that the thug was attempting to surrender and had his hands up when he was shot, but the forensic evidence did not show that at all. Another quote. A number of supposed witnesses also claimed that the thug was shot in the back by the cop, but again, forensic evidence showed that not a single one of the six wounds found on his body entered through his back. One woman who said she was smoking a cigarette with a friend nearby claimed she saw a second police officer in the passenger seat of Wilson's vehicle. When quizzed by a prosecutor, she elaborated, the officer was white, middle-aged or young, and in uniform. She said she was positive there was a second officer, even though there wasn't. So again, really what you have here is, yeah, the media is primarily responsible, but really you have witnesses bearing false witness and then infuriating others who then go on and riot. That's really what you have. And this is what Charles Barkley was bothered by. These aren't the good blacks doing all this. I got a long, much longer story here. Cleared officer tells grand jury Michael Brown was like a demon charging and beating him. Well, I agree with that. By the way, when he was first confronted and he swore at him, here's what he said. So you're the cop driving down the street. You see a thug who's just stolen a product and he's holding the product in his hand while he's walking. You tell him just to get off to the side of the road, and he says, what the F-U-C-K are you going to do about it? Have you ever heard of such a thing? A man so hating a cop, so anti-authority. What chance does that person have of getting along in this society? Comfortably fitting in. This is the definition of someone who does not fit into the society. There's nothing stopping this person from leaving the country. Flights are not expensive. A couple hundred dollars you leave, and then you just don't report in. You go to ground in Timbuktu. The reality is that person doesn't leave because they got it pretty good here. So what are they complaining about? If they got it good, what are they complaining about? You know, one of the things with complaints that we all need to examine is, this is a shell game. This is musical chairs, and they keep taking away one of the chairs, and then one more, and then one more. In other words, life is always going to be getting worse for the good guys. Always. So, given that that is actually, that's the playing field. The playing field is always uneven, always non-level. The point is that we have to adapt ourselves. We have no choice. We have to adapt, and we have to get used to greater and greater unfairness. If we don't, we don't fit into this controlled, rip-off system. We don't fit into it. We have to opt out. We have to go somewhere else, or we have to stop breathing. We don't have any choice in the whole matter. They want their trillions, and they're going to steal them from us. This in this longer story, he says, I kept telling him to get to the ground, but he doesn't. The thug grabbed the gun, twisted it down towards the cop's leg. There was a struggle. The cop was it. And here's the thing. Let's say you have the thug reaching for your gun and doing something with one hand on the gun. And all you're thinking about now is, I can't let myself be shot with my gun. I can't surrender my gun. Okay? So you're now putting two hands on your gun to try and win that battle, right? Well, you have this 300-pound thug 6 inches from your head, and he has one hand free. Because realistically, it's probably hard to reach with two hands to that gun from outside the car. So you reach with one. But your other hand is free to smash the cop in the head. The cop has to win all battles. And he can't. He's up against someone who's bigger and who doesn't care. This was an impossible situation from the beginning. Imagine assaulting a clerk when you're stealing cigars. Now, admittedly, you know, it was probably a confrontation. But it just, the escalation. Like I said way back in the beginning, you know, why steal cigars? Make it worthwhile. I'm not encouraging theft, but why steal cigars? Oh, dear. A humorous physics story. You know, the miserable Higgs, the Higgs boson theory of mass and gravity and all that stuff. This is a story on Wired. You can help physicists make the next Higgs boson discovery. Just think how desperate they are that they're saying that. You, Joe Average, who knows approximately nothing about physics, can help physicists make the next biggest, arguably, discovery. By the way, that Higgs discovery that they supposedly made, they've now backtracked on that whole thing, and they're like, well, we think it's Higgs-like, and we don't think it's necessarily the Higgs, and there's a family of these type of things. Yeah, you're going to keep stringing us along forever. We got that. Quote, more than 2 years after physicists discovered the Higgs boson, which is debated, Wired doesn't say that, there's still a lot they don't know about the elusive particle. Now they want your help to make the next discovery about this particle, with a new citizen science project called Higgs Hunters. That's right, some of the brainiest physicists in the world would like you to pitch in. I think when I was doing one of my physics papers, the one on 222 answers, you know, as you're working through those questions, those supposed conundrums of physics, you realize that 90% of it is there are many different theories in physics which frequently conflict with each other and certainly with themselves. And many of these supposed unsolved problems in physics are problems of the theories themselves. With one of them, and I forget which one it was, but it could have been QCD, which is certainly one of the worst. Quantum chromodynamics is, they're attempting to merge these forces, the four forces, they're trying to unify them. They do it with QED and QCD. Well, when you start looking at those things, those attempts at a merger, you know, you can't merge flawed things. You're just going to get a whole family of problems, and QCD especially. There's so many problems, but at some point I even say in one of my answers, won't somebody help us with our theory kind of thing? Well, same here, right?
Hey, you can help us with find the next Higgs.
You can help us con yourself, because they're getting our money. Costs $5 billion a year to operate the LHC. That money is coming from people. Let's say roughly 1 billion people are able to contribute. That's from the US, Canada, Europe. Let's say there's 1 billion people that have enough money. Their countries are rich enough to contribute to this. 5 billion a year, so every one of us, man, woman, and child, we're kicking in $5 a year to the LHC so that they can basically lie to us and string us along, and so that we can make the 1% rich. That's what the LHC is all about, is making the 1% rich. Building the credibility of people who don't deserve to have their credibility built up. That guy Neil deGrasse Tyson, check out Google. Go and research the guy. On Natural News, they had some things to say about him that were not kind. I believe they accused him of being a serial plagiarist. This is the guy that did the remake of the Cosmos series. Some of these physicist types that we see in the press are, well, I was going to say media whores, but I don't want to be too, I don't want to provoke anything, so I won't say that. Some of the media stories from the last couple of weeks, there was one I caught a couple of weeks ago. Costa Cara George search continues. This was a football player, 22 years old, last seen at his apartment, 2 in the morning. Team spokesman confirmed that he missed practice that day and the next day, which his family said was uncharacteristic. Worked out his name, Costa 753, Cara George 977, 551 total, one destiny. Well, you know, we talked about people with the one destiny, bad things happen. I didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, I had so many stories to go through. So anyway, within the last week, body has been found and identified as this person. Bad things happened. With guns drawn, police stage surprise raid on school as part of psychological drill to protect the children. You know, you can't make this stuff up. If you came up with a story 5 years ago, people would say, that's stupid. That's what's wrong with conspiracy theorists. They're all a bunch of stupid idiots. But the fact is, this story actually happened. Police in Winter Haven, Florida, say they will now change their policy after an active shooter drill at a middle school severely frightened both students and parents, none of whom were notified ahead of time that SWAT officers were going to burst into classroom, guns drawn. Even in part of the story that I didn't quote, the cops are saying this is necessary. Doing this is necessary. If it was necessary, you would have a building, typically an abandoned building, of which our cities have more and more of these days. Hey, go to Detroit. Have all these SWAT cops. Fly them to Detroit, which is now full of abandoned buildings, and have them use some of those buildings for their practice. Don't you think that would make a little more sense? Anyway, this shows how screwed up the cops are these days. But what's really going on? Cops are not dumb. They do what they're told. It's a hierarchy, it's a power structure. You know, if you want to understand the police, think of one person. The top cop. And the top cop controls the next layer, and that layer controls the next layer, and that layer controls the next layer, right down to the guy in the street. Well, who controls the top cop? The people with the money. The 1%. The cops are the perfect extension of the 1%. So what's happening here? These cops breaking into a school to practice a drill. What's really going on there? It's all a progressive path of getting us used to more and more horrific stuff, scaring us more and more, and just getting us used to all of this. It's that frog and dipping him into the water that gets hotter and hotter. That's what this is. Those kids with the frog. By the way, in Detroit, I guess they've been shutting off people's water. People in Detroit chronically don't pay for their water because they're broke. They have no money. They can't afford it. You know, they're too busy selling crack and being shot at by each other in a lot of the neighborhoods. That sounds maybe extreme until you read Mike Tyson's book. And then you realize, no, that was normal. And is normal. Even when Tyson became famous and all that, he would go back to the hood, back to where he grew up. And he would hang out with these criminals. Because they were his friends. They were the people up and down the block that he lived on and grew up in. And they thought he was great. He was like, hey, man, you're successful. And he thought, hey, guys, I just want to hang out and have a beer with you guys, you know. That lawlessness, that abandoning of the system. As they siphon our money, our resources, and they have no choice, right? They want more and more. The guys in power are not happy with trillions. By the way, apparently within the last year, the U.S. government had to get a $1 trillion loan to pay for the interest on other loans. I don't think I've ever seen a self-bailout loan of that magnitude. Well, let's say the interest is 10%. That means the 1% are going to get $100 billion in interest from the government alone in 1 year. That's a pretty profitable caper they got going on there. Considering they're printing our money and then loaning it to us. It's a fantastic system, man. If you don't see conspiracies in life, you are completely blind. If you don't understand the Federal Reserve conspiracy, you're just not trying. I guess Wilson, the Ferguson cop, he's resigned now. After his police chief said he had information suggesting that if the cop didn't resign, there were going to be acts taken against the department or its members. And you know, this is the real dilemma, right? This is what the press completely does not care about, not in the slightest. The number of casualties of the situation that the press have created here, well, it's all of us. It's not in the hundreds of thousands, it's all of us. They make their money by destroying us, by destroying civility, by destroying the only system we got. You know, they say capitalism is the worst system ever created except for all the other systems. The system we got in the U.S. is a terrible system, but it's better than every other one we've ever tried. The whole system is cooperative. A good friend of mine used to say that what makes, you know, the Western world run is trust, privacy, and time. And what he meant was, you know, it's a system based on trust. When you go into a restaurant, you order food, you are trusted that you will pay for it at the end. It's a system based on privacy. Well, of course, that's now gone, isn't it? There's almost no privacy now. You make a phone call to your mom, and the NSA is listening in. That's not my idea of reasonable. So the point is that in Ferguson, the press is gleefully destroying the system. It's a distrust system, and there's no privacy. We don't have time for something else. We have this front and center, right? They make these artificial issues, whether it's abortion or whatever, and then they'll milk it forever. It's like the drug companies creating a new disease, restless leg syndrome. They've actually created that supposed disease. Well, you know who has a restless leg? Someone who's five-ish. Statistically, two-thirds of us have a five quality somewhere. And even if we don't, we are at times in a five cycle. You know, there are nine numbers, so every 9 years we're in a 5 year. Every 9 months we're in a 5 month. Every 9 days we're in a 5 day. The five is around. All of us at times get restless, some of us more than others. So you have, you know, two fives, three fives in your name. You're going to have a serious restless leg syndrome. Now they're going to give you drugs for that. Speaking of, that just reminded me of giving drugs when a name change is indicated. Last night someone was showing me a Facebook picture, and it showed a child, a young child, maybe 2 years old, something like that, standing there wearing a dress, looking at the camera. And you know, in theory, that's like that typical times a million picture, right? You take a picture of your kid. But the child looked, it's interesting to try and describe it. They looked far away. They looked like they were having trouble being normal. They weren't smiling. They were looking at the camera. And they looked, honestly, like they were distressed. Not distressed like a physical pain, but just like anguish. There was some degree of anguish there. And I looked at the photo, and this person was, you know, bringing it to my attention. And honestly, I thought 257. I thought of that because the 257 is so sensitive, and they come across as weak. This poor girl looked very weak, very fragile. Well, it turned out they had a 257 in the last name, so that was kind of a good pull on my part. But they had a 775 first name. Just imagine giving your child a 775-257. That child does not have a chance, ever. They will never, ever in their entire life have a chance. We had a neighbor. My grandparents had a neighbor. We knew of this person because we'd visit our grandparents and hear stories. My grandparents, they would have a cat periodically. They had two cats or one cat, you know, different times. All the cats they had abandoned the neighbor and came over and stayed with my grandparents, who couldn't afford a cat. I mean, they were always very low class in their income, and yet very high class in their thinking and their behavior. Kind of interesting. You know, you can make a go of it. You can be at the bottom rung financially, and at the top rung mentally, spiritually, ethically. It is possible. It really just takes a decision, nothing else. Anyway, my grandparents would adopt these cats because the cats would just keep coming over. So what was this neighbor? 797. And just trying to work it out here. I thought they had in their old makeup, they had like another 797 and then they had a 59. No, it was 797-595-393. So they had sevens, fives, and threes. Exactly like this person in the picture. They had 775-257-933. Sevens, fives, and threes. And the point is that this neighbor was an alcoholic. She had an impossible name, and it made her an alcoholic. And that's why the cats left. Now here's the thing is, this is what they are doing to us, times all of us, times every chance they get. This isn't an occasional thing. There isn't occasional news. There is constant news. There is constant assault. It's like that story where the cops break into the school and have to assault the classroom to practice. They have to poison us with fluoride. It's absolutely essential to what they do. They want to take us down. A zero-sum game. They want to be trillionaires, and they want us to only be the servant class. I have a somewhat older story. Looks like November 27, I guess 2 weeks ago. Men allegedly plotted to bomb Gateway Arch. Kill Ferguson officials, report says. Two St. Louis men reportedly planned to blow up the city's iconic Gateway Arch and kill two prominent figures in the Michael Brown shooting case in Ferguson, which has sparked blah blah blah. Notice how they always say, which has sparked protests nationwide. They slipped this into all the stories. The media did that. The media sparked protests nationwide. The media did that 100%. And the media now says that in every story. Just stop and think about the mentality of people that provoke in every story. The news is no longer the news. Number one, it's not new. Number two, it's not reporting of any kind. We need a new term for the media. I think, honestly, the media is a weapon of mass destruction. What the media has done in Ferguson is exactly like if you used a weapon of mass destruction. Anyway, back to the story. Brandon Orlando Baldwin and Olajuwon Ali Davis were indicted last week on federal weapons charges. But authorities expect more charges to be filed. Well, you can expect the whole thing will disappear. That's what I expect. So the first guy, Brandon Orlando Baldwin. Well, Brandon 775. So he's got the accident first name. Added all together, all three names, 325 total, 5 destiny. Well, it perfectly fits, right? And by the way, last name Baldwin, 112, there's the one quality. As we've seen, that one quality can be a violent quality as well. The other person, Olajuwon Ali Davis, Olajuwon 753, Davis 191, but the middle name Ali 134. Added all together, 988. But if you take just the two names, let's see, 854. I think the key things I would say with the second guy is the last name Davis 191. The one, you know, on the positive side is a number of action, doing something. But when, you know, when the one is pissed off, what they're going to do is violent. So one of them had the accident combination, the other one had a 191. This is what they thought they should do. The fascinating thing is, the media is the problem. And these guys think they're going to go and blow up the Gateway Arch. Do you think maybe there's one or 50 people involved in protecting the Gateway Arch? I think there is. They count on this. The media counts on our constant stupidity. They have nothing to lose. Let's say the arch was damaged. They would use government money to fix it. They have nothing to lose by breaking the system down. All right, there's a story from sports. I had mentioned Joakim Noah, the guy who said he was fed up with people flopping in basketball, which is to say getting away with gaining from flopping, gaining from throwing themselves on the ground when someone touches them. And I said that the guy wouldn't get away with it because of his name. He's got the accident first name. So Kevin Garnett tries to bite Joakim Noah during a Chicago Bulls game. Well, by the way, Kevin, 5'7". So you have a 5'7" who simulated bites the guy who's sick about the flopping, who's got a 7'75". When society is full of 5'7"s and 7'75"s, they will fill up the newspapers perfectly. All by themselves. Unfortunately, this story happens and no one's the wiser, right? And basketball is certainly not going to improve. The game is completely doomed. I think it's... All you have to do is just look at the highlights. Are there more boring highlights than basketball highlights? I don't think there are. Let's see. The guy runs in and jumps up and slams the ball into the hoop. They call that a dunk. That's highlight category number one. Number two, he does the alley-oop, which is the fancy way of saying he shoots roughly towards the basket. And a different guy jumps up, grabs the ball, and slams it in. And then number three, you shoot the ball from a distance. He shoots it. It's in! What is interesting about that? And the other thing is, none of those things really are a team effort. You could say the alley-oop is, but as often as that works, it fails just as often. It's just random. When you shoot from a distance, it's random. It might go in, it might not. Who cares? As I've talked about before, you could take the fan who wins a chance to shoot the basket from center court, and if he makes it, he wins a car, and then periodically the fan wins a car. It's just probability. You get a fan who's completely non-warmed up. He's not going to shoot like a basketball player. He's shooting from a ridiculous distance that most basketball players would be happy if they just hit the rim from. And he actually makes the basket. But it's just a fluke. Flukes are not interesting. You notice you don't see that in football. You don't see stories about the fan who did the fluke thing in football and won a car. One other place where you see it is hockey. In hockey, it's not as much of a fluke. The thing is, they'll do it from center, then you shoot the puck, and if you get it through a little slot, They put a board in front of the goal and they leave only little slots available. And if you can slip the puck into those little slots, then you win a prize. Now, that one is completely reasonable. It's not interesting. It's not worth making the highlight reel, but it's a reasonable one for fans. In other words, it's not that hard to slide the puck, but it's hard to be accurate. And so that's a reasonable test. Almost any fan can at least get the puck, you know, that far, but it's hard to make it go in. To me, it has some degree of legitimacy, but baseball doesn't have this sort of stuff. Another story here. This was a guy who, he used a public contact form to spam a victim's website with junk text. That's in the description of the story. The headline says, oops, after threatening hacker with 440 years in prison, the prosecutors settle for a misdemeanor. So this guy was charged with 44 counts, indictable I assume counts, for cyber-stalking a victim. And all he did was fill up the form on their website and say whatever into their form. Why did the police seize on this? Why did they prosecute this person? What are they trying to do here? It's all censorship, right? It's more proof that the individual matters not in the slightest. And they want to scare and intimidate everyone with this. Because what does this do, right? Who wants to go through this? Who wants to go in front of a courtroom, even if you get let off with a misdemeanor, which is still on your record, isn't it? That's my understanding. Who wants that? No one. And so the effect of this is when someone has a web form and they have a forum, and if you leave a comment, at any time you could be charged with stalking. These are their methods of diluting the internet. The internet has been good, the internet is going away. Dilution and intimidation and misinformation, they're always their favorite weapons. Next story. I'm sort of just trying for a mix of stories. Here's one. Ludwig von Beethoven, Franz Schubert, Anton Bruckner, and Antonin Dvorak all died at some point during or after composing their ninth symphonies. And then Dmitri Shostakovich is the only one that survived his ninth. Gustav Mahler, visibly afraid, defied this curse of the ninth by penning a symphony that would have been his ninth, but he chose to call it Das Lied von der Erde, Song of the Earth, instead. He did fine until he finished his tenth symphony, which he then called his ninth, and he died shortly after completing it. Well, you know, this is the kind of thing that you sort of see periodically. And it's in the category stuff that we read that no one has an ability to make anything of it. You can be superstitious. You can go, oh, you know, it's kind of like seeing 666 together and we're like, whoa. Well, as it was explained to me, the 666 is really 999 turned upside down. And we've talked about the 999, that accident, not accident, that tragedies and losses combination. Hudson, Burton. You know, the 9 has a higher side. When you give someone a 999 name, you force an impossible situation. And so they lose. They have a tragedy, a loss. So that's the real origin of the 666, because when you add 6 plus 6 plus 6, you get 18. 1 and 8 is 9. So 3 sixes reduces to 9, just like 3 nines reduce to 9. That's a massive train going by outside. You could hear it from a long way off. Trains usually fall within sort of a category. This one was bigger than average, that's for sure. Federal authorities charged Detroit neurosurgeon. Oh, I don't know if I finished with Detroit there, but what they've been doing is they've been shutting off people's water. And for a while there, I guess in mid-year, in June and July and that, they were shutting off about 2,000 people's water every week. Just imagine, 2,000 homes no longer have water. How do you go to the bathroom? It's a desperate measure, but it shows how desperately, you know, poor and screwed up this, how the system is not working in Detroit. I think the headline of the story where I read all that was basically saying, you know, Detroit continues to die off kind of thing. It's just fascinating. They want to be trillionaires. They have no choice but to run down the rest of us. And occasionally they do such a good job, like in this case, they're destroying an entire city. This is 1% pure. This is their baby. Well, you know what they'll do is they'll get public money, they'll start rebuilding it. The 1% will step in and purchase, you know, on 1 cent on the dollar, never mind 10 cents, 1 cent on the dollar, they'll buy up everything. Then they'll bring in the public money, which will give people confidence. People will start to have confidence in the area again, and they will own all the property. That's how it'll recover. All right, this Detroit neurosurgeon, Aria Sabat, was charged with healthcare fraud. And this guy's been accused of cheating Medicare for millions of dollars by performing unnecessary spinal surgeries. What kind of a guy would do that? Someone that's desperate for money. What's the guy's name? Aria, first name, 292. Now, we've seen in the past where the 292 gets involved in pretty large conspiracies and pretty large cover-ups. The two is, you know, they're desperate for a quick buck. They're not wanting to work for it. If you had to choose the one number that does not want to work for a living, it is the two quality. That's why you don't want it in the name. Last name, 156. Well, we've talked about the 156 in the past. You know, the 6 supposedly makes the 156 the best of the ones, the best of the one planes of mind, as they say. Well, what it really does is it makes a very effective, selfish name. The 156 is a very effectively selfish name. You put that with the 292 first name that doesn't want to work and would rather, you know, dishonestly make money than make it honestly. And when you add them together, the guy has a 358 total, 8 destiny. The 8 is the success number. This guy is basically a success at being a con artist and selfish. That's what I even say in my notes. Successfully selfish. Mexican drug lord, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Well, when you just go Joaquin Guzman, the guy's name, 156 first name, like we just talked about, successfully selfish. Guzman, 461 last name. 461, very discordant. The 4 and the 1, I mean, the two most closed-minded numbers there are. More one quality, added together 527 total. Accident looking for a place to happen total. This guy's all ones, fives, and sevens, all violent numbers. He ends up in crime. What a surprise. Oh, there's this thing going on right now with Eric Berry. I think he's a footballer, and he's got cancer of some kind, and everyone's all supporting him, and they all got all these signs. Again, media doesn't care. They don't want the truth. So you have innocent people trying to support the guy, but really the media and the government and the medical system doesn't want this guy. They want him to have cancer. They've taught him to eat the foods that are cancer-causing, and now he's got it. Mission accomplished from their point of view. Anyway, let's look at his name. Eric, 538. Barry, 595. 134 total. 4 destiny. Okay, well, we've talked about the 4 is the cancer number. If you got the 4 in your names, cancer is coming. It's like if you have the 7s in your makeup, you're probably going to have a heart attack or a stroke. If you have the 2s, probably going to get diabetes or leukemia. And we've seen these cases already. Anyway, the other thing I would add is Eric Berry here, he's got all kinds of 5s around. Well, first of all, you can see why he's in football. When you got mega 5s, you have to be physically active. And you have to be you are very aggressive. Well, football is an aggressive game, right? But the other thing is that the 5 is naive. The 5 is trusting. You know, the 5 will respond to the coach telling him what to do. Like, do this and you'll get good. And you can make a real good killer if you have a 5-ish player under a good coach. So the point is that I'm sure this Eric Berry, he's got the kind of numbers. I think he was probably really good at football. But the 5 is naive. They don't know that they're fulfilling someone else's agenda. And bang, they get cancer and then, well, people are going to wear your t-shirt with your name on it, Mr. Berry. They're going to wear your t-shirt for a while, and then you're going to be gone. And they're going to carry on. Those billionaire owners are going to carry on. Another sports story. Cricketer Phil Hughes, in critical condition after getting hit with a rock-hard cricket ball. And he did, unfortunately, pass away a few days later. What's the guy's name? Phil, 999. Hughes, 865. Add them together, 865 total, 5 destiny. So is it a surprise that this guy had a tragic accident? No. It's indicated by the name. I even worked out his cycles. He's 238 for a 4, which is that muscle quality. You often see that in sports players. This year, for him, a 4-cycle year. When this all happened? The latter half of an 8-3 month. Well, they say in the latter half of a 3, expected disappointment. In the 4-year, they say it's, you know, going to test you in all ways. Well, he was tested in all ways. Rugby player suffers a temporary blockage of a small blood vessel in his brain. Chris Henry. So what's his name? Christopher. That's how he's born, right? 224. So we were just talking about, depending on the number you've got, what kind of a medical problem you'll have. Well, when you have a 2 quality, that can be the blood, the fluids, right? 224, it's an unhealthy combination. they just say it's not at all constructive. Well, if you have a name that's not at all constructive, you know, your body's just not going to be constructive. Anyway, last name, Henry 527. Accent looking for a place to happen. Total 742, two destinies. So he's got all the twos around. That's the fluids. And this guy has a temporary blockage of a small blood vessel in his brain. That's purely dictated by his name. Rare condition kills mom, but newborn survives. Carissa Bugal, B-U-G-A-L, 34-year-old Colorado mom, died November the 4th, shortly after giving birth to Declan J, after suffering a rare amniotic fluid embolism. All right, amniotic fluid problem. Well, fluid, right? So we were just talking about the two quality, right? So they're saying this is a rare thing to happen. Well, it's rare. In my notes, I say it's rare unless you have the two quality in your discordant name. First name, Carissa, 235, very discordant. We've talked about the 235. People with a 235, they have no chance. They have no chance at all. They're going to be a statistic, just like that rugby player. The husband is Wes Bugal. You know, often when there's a tragedy, you forget about the other half of the couple. It's a tragedy for them too, right? Well, his name is Wes, 562, Bugal, B-U-G-A-L, 437. They've talked about the 437. They say it's, they can have very unusual, first of all, it creates an unusual person, but they can have very unusual growths and those kind of conditions within themselves. Very discordant numbers again. When you add them together, he has a 999 total, 9 destiny. 9 is the losses and tragedies number. So he loses his spouse, right? Now he's got a child he's got to raise on his own. All right, I think I'm going to get to the of the weeks. Bad driver of the week. This is an older story I had that was sort of in my back pocket in case I didn't have news stories. Speaking of that, I think one thing I've noticed is that I'm a little more relaxed when I drive. You know, it's interesting by supervising other drivers, in other words, by watching them to see what crazy things are they doing in a nice way, you know, so I can talk about it later. It's made me more separated from the act of driving and more of a witness and less of a active participant in a bad way. And I really think I've made progress in my own driving by this bad driver of the week. So in other words, this is me saying I have less of these stories to talk about because I think less of these things are happening in general for me personally, just because, you know, you change your attitude, right? You change how you do things. That said, this story says car lights creating a crosswalk in front of themselves. This guy's got an idea that you sort of design car lights, headlights, so that when you stop at a crosswalk, maybe it's activated by a crosswalk, the car lights shine in such a way that it lights up the crosswalk. You know, the whole point of a crosswalk, you paint lines on the ground so that people, so you can cross there and so that drivers will see it and go, oh yeah, someone might be crossing now. Anyway, I thought it was kind of a good thing. It's sort of a simple little concept. And one of these pie-in-the-sky things that'll never happen. But it's nice when we think this way. We try and come up with a better way. We don't just report on the bad news. Oh, yeah, someone else died. Yeah, isn't that funny? They keep dying. Huh? You know, you actually come up with a better way. It's not often. It's one of those few moments. All right, my re-listen of the week. I realized I hadn't been listening to that much music of late. I'm sort of really trying to be more productive. And so, you know, music is like, I think it's like sort of dessert. You don't have to have dessert. I grew up in a dessert family. Family that was three-ish family name, and three loves food. So we had dessert. You'd have a meal, and then after lunch and after dinner, you'd have a dessert. You'd have some little sweet thing to lead to future diabetes, I guess. I don't know. That's what three-ish people do. After eating, let's eat. We also did listen to a lot of music, too. It was funny, we'd wake up and we had like a little den right next to the kitchen, and my dad would choose, you know, randomly from amongst the 50 different records he had, and he'd be playing some music, and we'd have breakfast and music. How many people do that? Well, that's what you do when you have a three-ish family name. Anyway, where did I see this? Oh, I was on Slashdot, someone was talking about something. It was an article on black holes, and one of these, you know, really idiotic articles, of which there are thousands of them every year. This one was saying they're going to take a picture of a black hole for the first time. Well, it's impossible, period. So this is a story about something that's impossible, period. So what's really going to happen? Well, some guys have got some money, and they're going to blah, blah, blah. You know? The physics scams continue. Anyway, this guy just posted a link to the band Muse and their song Supermassive Black Hole. And I went and clicked on that and listened to it. A very satisfying song. There's two songs on Muse I really like. Supermassive Black Hole is the one that is more well known. I believe it appeared in the Twilight movies. I may be wrong. It's a good one. But the one I like even more from Muse is called Uprising. And as times get worse, continue to get worse, check out Muse Uprising. I'll have links to both of them. They will not control us. We will be victorious. Some of the words from Uprising. Well, I don't think there's any reason for optimism. It's interesting when you follow some people in their thoughts. They'll talk about something bad and then they'll go, you know, but I'm optimistic. Well, I'm here to say that I'm not optimistic. There's no reason for optimism whatsoever. They control everything. They have all the money. You just think about, these people have had all the money for 100 years. They created the Federal Reserve scam 100 years ago, Woodrow Wilson. They've devalued the dollar by a factor of 100. In the Depression, which was 80 years ago, they created dollar jobs. People would be paid a dollar a day. And it was just to help people survive. Well, how much do we make nowadays? We make, you know, $80, $100. Like I'm talking, you know, people getting minimum wage. They make roughly $80 a day. By the way, the minimum wage is going up to $15 an hour. An hour times 8, that's 120. That's the minimum wage. So the minimum wage has gone from a dollar a day to $120 a day. So our dollar has been devalued by a factor of 120. Where did the 119 go? They got it. So I have no reason for optimism at all. In fact, a person from 50 years ago said that Western civilization is finished. There's nothing we can do about it. They've sown the seeds of their own destruction. And we must sow the seeds of a new age. Well, sowing the seeds of a new age is hard when they still control everything. This dilemma will never go away. It's the difference between building and destroying. I talk about it in my talk, Thinking Your Own Thoughts. I talk about the difference between the contractor who builds a home and the arsonist who burns it down. The arsonist can burn down a home in 1 minute. The guy building it takes 1,000 hours, which is harder. One is 60,000 times harder, roughly. So the people who control us, they're doing something that's easier. It's easier to control someone than it is to not control them. It's easier to steal money than to work for money. So that will always be here. Always. You have to realize that is the base state that will never, ever go away. If you are interested in fooling yourself that things are getting better, well, I got a bridge to sell you. Reread of the week. I've got a few books in the library, physics books. There's a guy, Boltzmann, I haven't read too much about. This person was kind of, you know, one of those young geniuses from, whatever, 80 years ago. Unfortunately, took his own life, but an interesting guy, and I don't know too much about him, and I want to learn about that guy. Speaking of physics stuff, I recorded the final parts of my talk on neutrinos last week, and I thought I was going to upload it last Sunday, but there was that one last thing I wanted to make sure it was right. You know, one of the things in my talks is I try and get them right, so that I don't have to go back and edit them, tweak them. Once you upload something to YouTube, you know, you have a choice. You either delete it or you leave it there. You can't edit it in place. Anyway, for some reason, there was some part of it. And what I realized was as soon as I had recorded my talk on neutrinos, there was one new story. I found a new source, physicsworld.com. New source of physics stories. And you could go through the archives a little bit. And they don't write as often as some of the sites, which is a good sign. It means when they write, they have something more meaty. And they were writing about neutrinos and an anomaly. And I realized, hey, you know, not only can I answer that anomaly, which conventional physics cannot, it actually makes my theory better. I incorporated all that, and I recorded that little addition, and I got to merge all that together, and then I'll upload my neutrino talk, which prompts me to start thinking about the next one. My next talk is going to be about the electromagnetic force, the EM force. In the early days, like 100 years ago, Einstein's time, they only knew of two forces, electromagnetism and gravity, and they wanted to integrate those two at the time. They didn't know about the strong and weak forces of the nucleus. The EM force is going to be an interesting one to do. I'm looking forward to it. I've been reading about Faraday and Maxwell, James Clerk Maxwell. Faraday was a true, research scientist, a true hands-on scientist. He didn't have the math background of many science types, and so he had to, be able to do stuff physically and to come up with physical theories. Well, the interesting thing is, EM, electromagnetic, was really the first force where they had some good theories. They don't have good theories of the strong force. Arguably they do on the strong force, in part because it's so simple, I think. The weak force, they don't at all. Gravity, they don't at all. So the EM was one of the, it was the first. And it was done by James Clerk Maxwell, who respected Faraday. And he did two papers, and the first one is he tried to extend Faraday's work using only Faraday's methods, i.e. non-mathematical methods. And then, in part two, he did the whole thing again, only with math. He put math to Faraday's model. Well, my point is that my theory is a better model. Physics is broken today because it has the wrong model on many levels. And they keep trying to extend it and patch it and whatnot. It's kind of like when you say fluoride is good for you. It's the wrong model. The real model of fluoride is very simple. Fluoride is a poison, a very effective poison. And so when you try with the fluoride is good for you model, you have to keep patching it and changing it, and you have to keep lying in new ways. The corruption has to grow, and you have to, be united so that the press is united as one, and they just simply won't publish anything that says fluoride is bad for you. Unless you're the Natural News, by the way. They know the story on fluoride. And they know the story on microwaves, too. Anyway, I've been doing some interesting reading, and Faraday was interesting. His numbers were 9, 4, 9, 4, 4. He was all 9s and 4s in his birthday. The 9 is a specialist, the 4 is the scientist. So he was a specializing scientist. Well, was he ever? Then James Clerk Maxwell comes along, and he was raised as a sort of like a true free thinker, raised on an unusual homestead, not a homestead, his father's acreage. And he was raised to be a free thinker. And then it turns out he's a 5 in the birthday, and he's under a 4. Well, the 4 is the scientist. The 5 is, think of it as a sped up 4, a fast 4. So you have this guy super forced and super cautious and conservative and careful and meticulous. That's Faraday. And then you have a fast 4 coming along and taking all that stuff to the next level. And that's what James Clerk Maxwell did. And he came up with the Maxwell equations, or the Maxwell relations, as they're also called. And it was really profound stuff. Well, I changed my name to a balanced name, but I had a choice of a wide range of names for the last name, all of which would be balanced. And I chose Maxwell because of James Clerk Maxwell and what he did. And how interesting that 30 years after I changed my name, actually I'm just working it out, about 34 years after I changed my name, now I have a theory which is extending his physics work. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever have thought I was going to be doing that. Things have truly come full circle. Anyway, this guy, I have a lot of respect for Faraday and Maxwell, and sort of the more so when you read it. But of course, what are these guys saying? What are they bothered by? They're bothered by action at a distance. They talk about a medium. They talk about an ether. Physics today thinks there's no ether. It has no chance of being right. There is a medium, just like there is a medium in solids. If I hit my cup, the sound is transmitted because the cup, the vibration, one atom hitting another and all that, and you get sound. Solids produce sounds. My dog shifting produces a sound. To get light, you need another medium, but it's a faster medium. It's a less visible medium. There's smaller components that move at a faster speed to produce a higher fidelity, a higher frequency energy. Sound is at one level. Light is at a higher level. It's really that simple, as I talked about in the original theory. And just as there's a limit, sounds can only travel through a solid up to the speed of sound. Well, we have a speed of light, that's a limit. Things can only propagate through the ether, through the universal matrix of springs, as I call it, up to the speed of light. It's exactly analogous. You know, the model is so simple and so obvious once you coin it, but everyone is so invested in the current mishmash. Anyway, it's an opportunity for me, because no one else has a good model. So, they're leaving money in the ground, and I just have to pick it up. Next talk, electromagnetism, or the electromagnetic effect, the EM effect, the EM force. You know, I've done gravity. With neutrinos, it's talking about the weak force, in part. Strong force is that basic spring-loop bond. It's very simple. Really, once I do the EM force, I will have talked about the four forces in depth. Still, I have other things on the horizon, but I guess what I was getting at partly was when I was talking about that story, that little story snippet earlier about the guys, composers in their ninth symphonies and surviving their ninth symphony. Well, my neutrino talk was my ninth. Rewatch of the week. Pitbulls and Parolees, I still had that in my notes, but I thought I had talked about that last week. A good series of shows, good concept. The whole thing of rescuing animals and then rescuing parolees, right? People that went to prison and now the system won't give them a chance. And so this person is doing a double whammy, rescuing people, rescuing pets. For some reason, IMDb is talking about Lord Jim. Lord Jim is a 1965 Peter O'Toole movie. Suddenly, I've seen it referred to a couple of times, and the local library came out with it on DVD. I guess that's what's driving this, that they've come up with the Lord Jim movie on DVD, and so they're going to give it a little bit of press on IMDb and whatnot. I believe that IMDb is owned by Amazon now. So, of course, Amazon sells the DVDs. As my dog finally settles down, you can just tell how restless he's been. He's been at my feet. I've been motionless at my feet to let him sleep, and he did dream, which is good. But then in the last 10 minutes, he got, you know, really restless, and he was fidgeting, and it's all going to be embedded in this Floydcast. Anyway, here's a bit of trivia from Lord Jim, this totally unknown movie. In London, this film was the Royal Command film performance for 1965, with the Queen attending the premiere. James Mason was amongst the stars of the film presented to Her Majesty, and he was able to secure free tickets for the evening for his parents, who were both octogenarians by this time. I think James Mason was also in this movie. However, they disliked the film so much that they discreetly left the cinema at the intermission, even though their son had not appeared on screen yet. Well, I think this is a wonderful story for a number of reasons. The primary one is, here's the English octogenarian couple, older couple, leaving a movie before their son has appeared because the movie sucks. This is something we have lost the ability to do in North America. I don't know why. We just stay with it, and we stay with it, and we stay with it. And what we don't realize is that if you watch too much garbage, you lose your filter. That's a serious loss. I was listening to a recent Bill Burr thing, Emotionally Unavailable, it's called. And it's some relatively new Bill Burr comedic performance. I was looking forward to it. I think Bill Burr's an interesting comedian. Well, it was a dud. This is the first dud I know of for Bill Burr. Instead of his material being very tight and very, you know, knitted together and very well thought out, you could tell a lot of it was improvised. It was him riffing with the audience type thing. In fact, making specific jokes related to that town that he happened to be in. Well, the point is that, you know, that can be brilliant, but it can also be a fail. In fact, most commonly, it will be a fail. You do it to ingratiate, to get good votes from your audience. You don't do it because where you're performing truly has a lot of great, funny things to talk about. You do it as an accommodation. You don't do it to be funny, really. And he did a lot of it, and I actually stopped it. I left a comment on Amazon about it. I said, this performance is a dud, and first time for everything, and I did not finish it. I think I listened to 20 or 30 minutes of it. People don't do that these days. When the movie sucks, you got to get up and leave. It's for your benefit that you get up and leave, not for anybody else's. You don't have to defend it or justify it to anybody else. If you don't like the show, get up and leave. If you don't like the way the press is handling something, don't entertain the press. If you don't like the way CNN reports things, don't watch CNN. If you don't like your school that your kids are at, move them to a different school, especially a charter school. You will be amazed. The difference is night and day. All right, cool and uncool things of the week. I'll do the uncool one, so hopefully it'll finish on a slight up note here. Health Ranger Report number 6, Gunpoint Medicine. The forced vaccination of school children and criminalization of healthy parents. All right, so this is a natural news podcast called Health Ranger Report. This is the 6th one. If you're looking for it, you can get it on our website. Gunpoint Medicine forcing vaccinations and criminalizing healthy parents. I even saw a story, different story this last week, talking about there's some guy who wants to make it illegal to avoid vaccinations for religious reasons. Now, of course, religion is the blanket term for people who philosophically are opposed to it. We have to say, you know, we have a religious reason. Isn't that a nice little taint? It'd be like saying you don't want cigarettes, but your school bus is the Marlboro school bus, and the straws that you use for your beverage at the lunchroom are called cigarettes, and the taint is there, right? Some pretty horrific stories, also stories I, in the last week, read about where they give vaccinations to children, and then they start having complications immediately from the vaccinations. And then in some cases, the medical people have stepped in and they have seized the child, basically taken away the evidence. Research this for yourself. All right, so that's very uncool anyway. Forcing vaccinations, very uncool. And again, it benefits them, right? The idea is the herd protection. You vaccinate most of the herd, and then that protects you. Well, of course, as they found out this year, this winter, the flu shot won't work. Turns out they have to guess randomly when they give a flu shot, and they guessed wrong, and the flu bug this year is not the one they thought it was going to be, and all those flu vaccines are worthless. And by the way, they've also studied that the people who get the flu, 2/3 of them are vaccinated, and they still get it anyway. All right, super cool thing of the week. The glymphatic system. Have you ever heard of the glymphatic system? Subtitle of the story, How Insomnia Leads to a Filthy Mind. The glymphatic system is the fluid system of your brain. And this article explains how when you sleep, your brain's fluid system, the waste collection system, empties into your lymphatic system. And so the importance of sleep and when this happens, yada, yada. It's kind of a nice long story, but I'll just boil it down that you need your sleep, which is to say you need to avoid microwave radiation because it affects your sleep. And your body is doing useful things when you're sleeping. Cleaning out the glymphatic system. Very cool. New thoughts for me right there. I've accumulated a lot of cool and uncool things of the week. Maybe I'll do a double episode 1 week. This podcast is going to be a little slightly longer than normal already, but maybe next week I'll do it. Quote of the week. Let's see. All right, well, this will be a humorous one. Maybe I'll do two. Quote, unprovided with original learning, unformed in the habits of thinking, unskilled in the arts of composition, I resolved to write a book. Edward Gibbon, 1737. Well, isn't this the case? The people who are the least qualified are the ones writing books. Why is that? Why is that happening? Why is that promoted and published and publicized and all that? They don't want experts. They really don't. There's no money in an expert. There's no money in an answer. Okay, the other quote. The direct use of force is such a poor solution to any problem. It is generally employed only by small children and large nations. David Friedman. Well, it's also used when you protest, right? When you're protesting something that you're probably going about it the wrong way, well, then you resort to force, right? Like Ferguson, right? It's such a poor solution. The people of Ferguson could have gone, yeah, I totally get it. The guy's a thug. He assaulted a cop. He didn't care. He stole stuff. He was brazen and foolish. He was a repeat attacker. I get it. They could have done that. They could have had that thought. In fact, it wasn't really hard to come to that conclusion. But instead, they've resorted to force. So this has been Floyd Maxwell, JustThinkIt.com, doing a Floydcast number 43 for December the 8th, 2014. Good luck with your life. Take care.